Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, the dumb time on a throwback Thursday. Yeah, we were going back to 1994, but it's 2021. What is the good of the day today?
A lot of times we, for lack of a better word, poo-poo on technology.
Yes.
Because, we fear it sometimes.
Yeah, sure we do. Yep.
This is when technology is actually kind of cool.
Okay.
Because there are aerial photos of Augusta National that came out.
Oh, really?
And there are some major renovations going on.
What are they doing to my favorite golf course in the world?
Well, like on one of them, say hole 13, they're putting in a whole new row of trees so you can't cut the corner anymore.
Oh, good job. Good job. That was getting ridiculous.
Yep.
That was an easy draw for those guys. They were just pounding it and just cutting right through there.
Yeah.
They were hitting like 9-iron to a par 5. That's just stupid.
So, yeah, so they're... but also it seems like they're making changes to the par 4 11th and the par 5 15th as well.
What can they be doing on the 11th? That they've already stretched that out as far as they possibly can.
Whoever the expert was that's looking at this is saying, I don't think they're lengthening the course in any way. I think they're just changing a few things. Because, for me, you can't really lengthen a golf course when you have a city built around it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and there's exactly. And there's another golf course that's across. If you watch the golf tournament, the Masters, you'll see 12, and then you'll see the tee box at 13. If there's an opening between the trees, you'll see there's another golf course adjacent to it. That's in the back. That's an old country club too. And so they can't even go. They can't even go there. But 11 is a weird hole because 11 is the one where the pond is on the right, the left hand side of the hole. And Ben Hogan famously once said, "If you ever see me on the green with my second shot, I missed," because he always played to the right. He wanted that lake so far out of play that he wanted to hit it to the right and then chip up and make his par because he wanted no part of that water. That ball would hit certain areas of the green and hit certain areas of the fairway and roll in, like hit and then start rolling to the pond. And he was like, no, not doing that. So, yeah, maybe they're doing a little bit more of that. Maybe they're adding a little bit more of a factor making the lake a little bit more in play.
It is amazing to look at because the fairway, they've all been torn up. Like your worst Muni course ever. There's no fairway. It's all dirt.
Yep. And this is their downtime. They don't have, they're not open in the summer, so this is when they do it.
And that's the crazy part because this thing will be pristine and absolutely beyond beautiful come April.
Yep, exactly. Yep. That's awesome. I got to take a look.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, this probably happens at a lot of golf courses, but this one we kind of look at and know. I'm like, okay, yeah,
That's the beauty of Augusta National is that like I have to do whenever they go to a major, I have to do like if I really want to know about it, I do one of those like little tutorials, like here's the course, and they do these flyovers, and they're like the par 5 third hole, the drivers will be in play and I go okay, but the Masters I don't need that. I've seen it too many times. I know every hole by heart.
Can you do a tour there? Like how you can go tour stadium. Do they offer a tour of Augusta?
Yeah, wish they did.
How great would that be?
Wouldn't that be great? That'd
maybe be we fantastic. Just thought of something fun.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure. What's the bad of the day?
You teased it earlier, and I have to go with it. Mets fans everywhere are on the edge of their seats right now.
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom left the game early after pitching a perfect 3 scoreless innings. Not only did he have a perfect game going, he had struck out 8 batters.
He was magnificent.
Out of 9.
He was magnificent, and he lasted 3 innings, as you said. Shoulder soreness.
Tightness, or I don't know.
She sells by the seashore.
Yep.
Shoulder soreness, and that's why this is a constant theme this year for Jacob DeGrom. He does a rehab assignment, comes back, works it out a little bit, and then something hurts or aches or just enough for the Mets to be careful.
I know, and the funny thing is, too, he drove in a run.
Yeah, he did. He did. That's exactly right. He did drive in a run. It was a 3-2 win over the Cubs.
Yeah. He drives in a run and pitches 8. It's unfathomable to me to have 8 strikeouts when you face 9 batters.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It was a 6-3 win over the Cubs last night.
Yeah. 8 strikeouts versus 9 batters. That's,
yeah.
That's dealing.
There's a legitimate question. The Mets lead the division, and they lead by 5, I think, over the Phillies.
Right.
There's a legitimate conversation of whether or not the Mets should really sit him out for a while.
I mean, we blasted the Nationals a few years back, or a couple of years in a row, when they kept doing that to Steven Strasburg.
Yes, exactly. And I think there's something to this. I think if you're the Mets, I think see if you can hold on and play the way you're playing with your current staff without DeGrom, and then see around August, late August, September, where exactly is he as you get ready for a stretch run towards the postseason. Now, again, it's a risk because you could blow it, but it doesn't feel like any of the teams, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Washington, are putting together decent enough seasons to make a run of what you're doing.
Right.
We'll see. If I'm the Mets, I might be in that consideration.
You might have to – you might. Because the worst thing would happen is if you make the playoffs and you don't have him.
Absolutely.
Because he's once again sidelined with shoulder soreness.
Soreness. Yeah. Please. I can't do it fast. If I do it fast, I'll just embarrass myself more than I already do on this show. So, but the Mets, again, 5 games is like a week of you losing and them winning, right? It's not a comfortable lead, but it's not like it's a half a game. Like you got some breathing room to see if DeGrom needs to be just shelved for a while, for a couple of months to see where it goes. You know, just go from there. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I actually have 2, and they're under the same category as, they're both bear stories.
Bear stories?
Stories dealing with bears.
I love bear stories.
So the first one is that there was a bear loose on Rutgers, or at Rutgers. Is it at Rutgers or on Rutgers? That doesn't matter.
In New Jersey?
Yes.
Yeah, Rutgers Street, yeah.
No, but would you say was it at Rutgers or on Rutgers?
I would say at Rutgers.
At Rutgers?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, because it's a place.
So you know, there was a bear loose, and the only advice the school really gave was don't look at it in the eye.
Don't look a bear in the eye.
Yeah.
So that was the advice that they gave?
Isn't that what aren't you supposed to look at a bear?
I thought you were supposed to play dead. But I always thought if you played dead, you would be dead.
Right. We all saw The Revenant.
Right. Then I also heard that you could sing and it would be scared enough and not interested in you if you sang to it.
But what if you sing terrible?
Yeah.
I'm not saying I got any golden pipes over here.
Fran Lebowitz said she went on an Alaskan trip. The writer Fran Lebowitz said she went on an Alaskan trip and the guide said, if you see a bear, raise your arms, jump up and down and sing. And she said, no, I'll be running. And they're like, don't do that. She goes, there's nothing else I'm going to do. Singing is not the option. I'm not going to look at the bear and sing. I'm going to be running. That's the way we all going to be. Look, I'll just concede my death if I ever run into a wild grizzly bear. Because I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to play dead. I'm going to run as fast as I can and just pray to God he'll not want to catch me and eat me.
That kind of leads me into the second dumb of the day.
Okay.
Because once again, and I'm emphasizing again, the National Park Service is reminding tourists, when you encounter a bear, do not push your friend down when you see a bear.
Oh, so basically like, eat him!
Yes.
Sacrifice your friend.
I mean, I love the fact that they have to do this again. That they have to remind people again not to push down your friend when you encounter a bear.
Exactly. You ever see zombie movies and they go, we're going on a food run, and they always pick the fattest guy to go with them for no reason? Like, you got all these fit guys who know how to shoot, know how to do guns, and then they find the one, like, accountant that's a little overweight, and they're like, and John, you come with us too. And he's like, I can't fire a gun. Nah, we just need you. Because they know why they need him. Because if they ever get in trouble, they just sacrifice fat John to the zombies while they make their escape. That's the way they do it with bears, I guess. Bring your fat friend and go, here, bear, eat Sam.
Yes.
He'll be a nice treat. And while you're done, I'll be miles away and you won't even remember you saw me.
It's the Star Trek henchman.
Right, syndrome. Yeah.
The guy in
right.
the red shirt.
The red shirt people. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
I mean, if you ever got the call and you're like going down to the surface with Kirk and Spock, would you be sitting there like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm good.
Tummy ache. I'm not feeling that well.
So if my buddy's going on a trip, they go on a bear trip or a hunting trip, and there's bears, and they invite me to go with them, who's never hunted before, I'm going to have to say no to that.
Yes.
Because I know why they're going to take me.
Yeah.
Well, they'll do that thing where they'll go, oh no, I think it'll be interesting for you. You think you'll love it. We'll teach you how to shoot the gun and how to fire it. No, I'm there for food for the animals so they don't get eaten.
That's what
I'm there for. That's just in case.
You're the outlet, the safety outlet.
Exactly. Because I can't run and climb a tree, so I'm a dead man with a bear coming at me.
Does the National Park Service, do they have to remind us this? Is this a common problem?
I don't know. Is it a common problem? That's a good question.
I don't live in bear country.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've never had to push down a friend because a bear is right there. I mean, the only time I've ever seen bears is in the zoo. Well, actually, it's not true. I have seen bears in the wild, but...
When I was in Colorado Springs, I covered the U.S. Senior Open. It was held at a course called the Broadmoor, which is a resort near the mountains. And during the tournament, a bear had crossed, was walking along a fairway, and they had to pause play, right? Because it was obviously dangerous. But it became kind of a fun aspect of the story until I really stopped and thought, somebody could have got really hurt. Like, that bear could have been scared enough to attack whatever it was around, whoever was around him, player, caddy, fan, whatever.
Yes.
And we're not talking like a dog bite. We're going to be talking, if that happened, a mauled human being. Like a human being will be torn to pieces by a bear.
I mean,
this was a huge bear too.
I was fishing on a lake once and I was in a boat, but we're kind of close to where you can see the shoreline. I mean, you're close enough that you can see people and you can say hi, wave to them. And a bear just appeared. Like,
God.
There are people who are just fishing on the shoreline, and a bear just appeared like out of the woods. There was no warning. No one's like, hey, watch out. It was like no one had any clue that it was there. It just came down to the water. People just dropped their fishing poles, kind of moved away. It just came down to the water, grabbed a drink, and walked right back. Like, this is what he does.
God. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. Again, 1994 is when we go back to the O.J. Bronco chase and a number of other things in sports as we continue along at his wake-up call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake up call!
I don't like to...